So my presentation is actually a good follow-on to the previous presentation, so I'm excited that you went into the whole fidelity piece. My name is Dr. Wilma Robinson, and I am the Deputy Director for the Office of Adolescent Health, which is within the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Health in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. A mouthful, but that's where we're located. Today, I would like to share with you OAH's approach to implementing evidence-based programs with fidelity and how reach, fidelity, along with quality and dosage, can be monitored using performance measures. As we heard before, it can be challenging to implement an evidence-based program with fidelity, and we wanted to show how we've been doing it with the teen pregnancy prevention programs. Contrary to what the title may suggest, this presentation will focus on performance measure data collected from my teen pregnancy prevention replication grantees over a year and a half period. We are collecting outcomes data on rigorous evaluations and that for the teen pregnancy prevention program, and that data will likely be available in 2015. However, we feel that monitoring reach, fidelity, quality, and dosage helps to ensure that programs are being implemented as they were intended, and that and those results impact or can impact, ultimately impact, how evidence-based, the outcomes of evidence-based programs. So we really feel like monitoring fidelity, reach, and dosage are key to implementing evidence-based programs. So I have no relationships to disclose, as my colleagues. One of the things that OAH does is that we work as a team, and this presentation is no exception. The following are co-authors for this presentation. They co-authored the abstract and also assisted with developing the presentation as a whole. These are the objectives for today, the learning objectives, and I won't read each one for you for time's sake. Next, I'd like to give you a little bit of background on OAH and the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program. To give a little context, the Office of Adolescent Health was implemented in 2010, and our office is dedicated to improving the health and well-being of adolescents to enable them to become healthy, productive adults. In addition to coordinating adolescent health activities across the department, we provide funding to grantees through two programs. One is the Pregnancy Assistance Fund, which funds states and tribes to provide services to expectant and parenting teens, support services, I should say, to expectant and parenting teens, women, fathers, and their families. And the other is the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program, which provides funding for grantees to replicate evidence-based programs. We call those programs Tier 1 programs, and to replicate and evaluate new and innovative approaches to preventing teen pregnancy, and we call those programs Tier 2. This presentation will focus on our Tier 1 programs. OAH receives about $100 million annual funding to implement the teen pregnancy program, of which $75 million is used for our Tier 1 grantees, and $25 million is used for our Tier 2. HHS conducted an independent evidence review that identified evidence-based programs eligible for the TPP program. And this was an important and new thing that HHS has done. In the past, we would always write in our FOAs that we want you to do evidence-based programming, but we didn't identify what evidence-based program meant. And so we hired, or the department as a whole contracted out to have an independent assessment of what evidence was out there around teen pregnancy prevention programs. And we came up with the evidence review. And then we required our grantees to use an evidence-based program, identify an evidence-based program while they were applying for the grant. And most of the time they looked at, you know, where they wanted to have the program being placed, the population they wanted to serve, to identify which evidence-based program they wanted to use. OAH's approach to implementing teen pregnancy programs stresses the importance of a partnership between the grantees and OAH. In the past, most of the programs, we call it a grant program, but it's really a cooperative agreement so that we can have that true partnership around implementation. We also emphasize the implementing the program with Fidelity. We provide ongoing training to grantees on the importance of implementing programs with Fidelity. We require grantees to submit all proposed adaptations to the program for approval prior to implementation. We monitor the implementation with Fidelity through the use of performance measure data. OAH also is conducting a rigorous evaluation using randomized controlled trial of 7 grantees, and also 17 of the 75 Tier 1 grantees are conducting rigorous local evaluations. So we're excited about what we'll be able to say at the end of 5-year period. This next slide provides a quick overview of our Tier 1 grantees. There are 28 evidence-based models that met the standards of the HHS evidence review that I spoke about earlier. Of the 28 models, our grantees are implementing 23. 75 grantees were funded to replicate evidence-based teen pregnancy programs, and those grants ranges in sizes from $400,000 to $4 million per year for 5 years. Grantees serve over 100,000 youth annually across 37 states in the District of Columbia. It should be noted that the evidence review is updated annually, and right now there are about 31 evidence-based models, but at the time that this program was originally implemented, there were only 28, so our grantees only picked from the 28 that were originally identified. This slide shows the diversity in the types of evidence-based programs being replicated by OAH grantees, and this is just the ones that OAH grantees are implementing, not all of them that are on the evidence review. As you can see, we can group the models by type, with 7 grantees implementing abstinence-focused models, 7 grantees implementing clinic-based models, 45 grantees implementing comprehensive sexuality education models, 30 grantees implementing positive youth development models, and 4 grantees implementing programs for specialized populations, with some grantees implementing more than one model. So they may be doing an abstinence component, but also doing another model as well. Beyond the type of program, program models also vary greatly in terms of size, duration, and setting. Program sizes range from one-on-one interventions, such as the clinic-based models, to interventions that are designed for classrooms or groups of up to 25 per facilitator. Such variation can impact the projected numbers served. So some of the grantees are serving smaller number of youth, and that's because of the duration of the program. It's really hard to serve large numbers. The program lasts a year. The program duration ranges from short-term to 1 or 2 sessions and to long-term programs with multiple sessions over the course of a year or more, but on average, most programs are doing about 6 to 8 weeks. Programs are implemented in various settings, such as schools, community-based organizations, after-school programs, or clinics, and can be implemented in specific settings as well, like the clinic-based or only in clinics. Next, I want to talk about how we measure Fidelity. We heard earlier that it's difficult to ensure that a program is being implemented as intended, and we wanted to talk about how we came up and how we're looking in OAH at measuring Fidelity. Our Tier 1 grantees must commit to implementing the evidence-based program according to developer specifics, and must get advance approval from OAH from the developer on implementing any adaptations. In addition, grantees must engage in a number of activities to monitor implementation of programs with Fidelity. All grantees are required to develop a Fidelity monitoring plan, which we've heard earlier today as well, and collect Fidelity monitoring data specific to their program model through the required OAH performance measures, which we track in 6-month intervals. Grantees receive, review, and analyze their Fidelity monitoring data on a regular basis and provide ongoing feedback to their facilitators through professional development, group meetings, and one-on-one meetings. In addition to providing feedback to facilitators, Fidelity monitoring data are used to make ongoing, continuous quality improvement. So not only are we collecting this data, but we're requiring the grantees to look at it and go back and make changes as they're working to implement their programs. OAH staff also meets with the grantees to discuss their Fidelity logs and the reports annually and provide additional TA during our meetings. I'm like, our Tier 1 grantees are required to collect and report to OAH twice a year on a set of uniform performance measures. These measures were selected doing a literature review, having recommendations from an expert panel, as well as getting input from other grantees, federal grantees, and federal staff. Today's presentation will only focus on the key performance measures of reach, dosage, fidelity, and quality, but we collect a number of other measures around partnerships, community engagement, and other, and of the like. Reach refers to the number of participants who participate in at least one program activity. Dosage refers to how much of the program's content a participant receives. Fidelity refers to how well the program is being implemented as it is intended. And fidelity-related measures are facilitator-recorded adherence, which is based on the facilitator's self-report of how many activities, planned activities, that they were able to complete. And observer-related adherence, which looks at, OAH requires grantees to observe at least 10% of the teen pregnancy prevention programs, and the observer should be an independent observer, but we understand that some of our programs cannot afford an outside independent observer, so in those cases, it has to be a supervisor and someone who is familiar with the model or knowledgeable about the model. And the observer completes a report of how many planned activities were completed during the session. And then in terms of quality, we look at how well a program is being implemented according to the independent observer who is familiar with the program. So they give an overall score of the level of quality of the session. And these are the items that grantees are required to collect and report on related to reach, dosage, fidelity, and quality, just to give you an example. Now let's get to the good stuff. As it was said, you can't come to APHA without having some data. this slide shows the reach across all replication grantees by program year. The blue bar shows the first year full implementation, which is from September 2011 to August 2012. The red bar shows the reach for grantees during the first 6 months of year two. We're currently collecting year two data. We're at the end of that data collection and we're combing through. So this is only reported for the first 6 months. Year two goes from September 2012 to February 2013, we haven't gotten the last data point for September 2013. So as you can see, TPP grantees are reaching youth. During the first year, 70 grantees served a total of 72,328 participants in the first 6 months of the second year, reporting was 62,046 youth were served, which indicates that we're well on pace to double the rate of youth served from the previous year. It's important to note that in the first year, in year one data, only 70 grantees reported, not the full 75, because five were still piloting their projects, and they weren't at the phase yet of implementation. This next slide just gives you a quick picture of where we look in terms of demographics of the children or the youth served. OAH tracks reach by gender, age, race, and ethnicity. These two pie charts show participants by gender and age, and as you can see, we are serving slightly more of the participants who are female, but just as much males. It's not a big disparity between the two. And we're seeing similar numbers in year two. And the average age range is, not average, but the majority served were 13 to 14, which were the green bar chart at the bottom. In general, we serve youth from under 10 through 19. Some of the evidence-based models focuses on the younger kids, getting them ready as they become older adolescents. This next slide talks about reach. These pie charts show the race and ethnicity data for Tier 1 participants during the first year, that the majority of participants were either Black or African American at 43% and white at 36%. It should be noted that in the first year, we really didn't break out race and ethnicity. So some of the numbers for Hispanics are included in white, other, and multiple race categories. In the second year, we were able to break it out, and we can see that the majority thus far, it's not up here, but we can see the majority of youth served are non-Hispanic blacks at 35% and Hispanic and Latino at 30% with non-Hispanic whites at 26%. And then you can see in year one, the majority in terms of ethnicity served were Hispanic. REACH only tells us a part of the story of implementation. Collecting and analyzing fidelity and quality data are critical to ensure the programs are delivered as intended. And this chart tells us about facilitator reported fidelity, observer reported fidelity, and overall session quality. The closer each of these measures are to 100, the better that we're seeing that the program is being implemented as is intended. And also, the facilitator report of fidelity should match the observer report. So it means that they're seeing and doing the same things. Thus, we can see all of the measures here are above 90% and showing improvement for year two. Year one is the green, year two is the purple. And we also see that facilitator and observer reports are aligned, so they're almost the same for each. The next slide, it really breaks out the facilitator reported fidelity and observer fidelity and overall quality by program type. And you'll see that there are differences in fidelity and quality during year one of implementation. This is only for year one because we haven't finished collecting the data from year two. And here you can see that the facilitator reported fidelity was lower among grantees implementing the clinic-based models and among grantees implementing the positive youth development models. Fidelity of the clinic models can be impacted by scheduling changes. Really anything, since it's a one-on-one model, anything that impacts the time that the facilitator is spending with the individual can impact facilitator reported, because remember, it's being able to complete the various components of the model. And if, you know, I come in late, if they're doing it in the clinic and the youth is seeing a doctor prior to coming to see the facilitator, then if the doctor's time runs over, if the doctor's running late, it can impact the amount of time the facilitator has to implement it. And then in terms of positive youth development programs, that can probably be attributed to the youth-driven nature of the program. Some of the positive youth development programs are led by peers. And sometimes that leading of that session can go awry depending on how well the peer was trained and so forth. And so you can have some, and then if it's based on the youth that are in the room, as the conversation changes, you get off track and you're not able to implement everything as intended. Okay, let me move a little bit quickly. Next is talking about dosage, and it's an important indicator to see how many youth who enroll in the program are retained over the duration of the program and are receiving adequate amounts of the program. And this slide shows an overview of dosage with mean attendance and the percentage of youth receiving 75% or more of the program. The mean attendance was 82% for all Tier 1 participants, which is pretty good, during year one, and it increased slightly to 84% thus far in year two. And during year one, 79% of participants received at least 3/4 of the program model, and in year two, thus far, 81%. So we're increasing in terms of the amount of exposure that the youth are getting as well. And when we break this out by program type, we still see the same thing about the positive youth development at 59%. And that's really because those programs are typically longer. They're multiple sessions, and they last for more than sometimes 1 to 2 years. So, lessons learned, real quickly. OH has learned that grantees must monitor REACH fidelity, quality, and dosage. That's the only way to ensure that evidence-based programs are being implemented as they were intended. We also learned specifically that grantees should collect uniform ongoing data. One of the things that we did early on in the TPP process and development was to identify performance measures that can be collected across all grantees to ensure that we had some uniformity in reporting. And then data on fidelity and quality alone is not sufficient. Programs must also monitor dosage. You want to know how many students are being retained, and then, not students, but youth are being retained, and then how much of the program they are receiving. And then providing continuous feedback to facilitators in real time is crucial to making continuous quality improvement. To monitor and then at the end of the year give a facilitator feedback is not helpful. To have that continuous loop at several points throughout the year or several points throughout the month to provide feedback to make adjustments to ensure that the program is being facilitated properly. And then finally, fidelity monitoring has to be a part of the core program. It has to be built into the program, and the program implementers have to feel the importance of doing fidelity and not just like another reporting requirement by the federal government. It has to be built in, it has to be a part of the program, and the program implementers have to buy into it so that the facilitators and everyone implementing the program can do the same. And I think I'm done. You know, in conclusion, it's just the same, along the same lines. You know, program managers at the local setting can provide timely guidance to facilitators. They can give that feedback loop that helped them implement the program correctly. And then this particular presentation just demonstrates how important it is to consider not only fidelity, but looking at reach and dosage as well. Thank you. Oh, and this last slide just shows where you can find information on our website and the various social media outlets that we use. And I did provide handouts in the back if anyone wants to grab one.